Sylvia, thanks for being here on The Message.
You're welcome. Thanks for the invitation.
This is Hamilton artist Sylvia Nickerson, creator of comics or graphic novels. I go back and forth on all the terminology. What do you prefer, or do you care?
I haven't really thought about it. It's just, yeah, the art I make, and I guess it kind of fits, yeah, comics, graphic novels is the genre.
Right. Mm-hmm. I'm John Wells, the host, and Aisha Nasser is here producing as always. And it feels like spring outside to me. And so my first hard-hitting question is, what's your favorite season?
Well, right now spring is very welcome for me, so I'm pretty happy about it.
Yeah. I looking at some of your work from your new show, I feel spring in some of it. We'll talk more about that. But, you know, the new gallery show, which is called All We Have Left, is this. And just some notions of beginnings and optimism and the limitations inherent in some of that. But I'll get to that. But so this new show is on display at the Assembly Gallery at Red Church Cafe, which is next to Sapinka Courthouse.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. How long will it be showing there?
For the month of April.
Month of April.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going through a couple of things we got on the go here before I backtrack. And you have a comic magazine that has been out for a while called Feeling Tense.
That's right. It's like a zine, which means a small kind of pamphlety kind of publication.
Right.
And yeah, that was put out in the fall in conjunction with a short conference that a group organized partly by McMaster, partly by Center 3, the art space in downtown Hamilton, on the theme of gentrification and its connection to the arts community.
Right. Mm-hmm. Where is that available if someone wanted to take a look at that?
Center 3 has a gallery and gift shop. You can buy it there. You can also buy it at King West Books. It's $5.
Right. So it's like the zine, the show, and you have a graphic novel coming out, a comic, in the fall, and we'll get to that as well. So how do you feel about all this? There's a lot of stuff going on, it seems like.
Yeah, there's like a tremendous amount going on. I feel good. I mean, I just had like one of those significant birthdays, and my 30s has been really jam-packed with a lot of life events, so yeah, I kind of feel like it's a time to enjoy all of this stuff, like the end of a lot of these journeys kind of coming out now. Yeah, and maybe a new one beginning, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, then keeping with the spring theme, and I mean, when I met you 2 years ago, almost exactly 2 years ago, as it happens, I interviewed you and I wrote a story about you and your work. We'll post that story online, I hope. And back then, you had written the first few chapters of this comic titled Creation.
Mm-hmm.
And that was about life, death, and renewal in the Beasley neighborhood in the North End, where you lived and still live.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that story was in part autobiographical, as someone who had moved to the neighborhood, gotten involved in the community, became a mother. You have two kids, right?
That's right, yeah.
And you wrote in the introduction to Creation that it was a love story, although not always an easy one. And so since then, Creation has blossomed from those first few black and white chapters to a full-length watercolor comic that's being published this fall. So that journey, when I met you, you had stuff going on, but there's so much that's happened, it seems like, in the last couple of years. What has that journey been like for you in terms of finishing Creation and finding a publisher and so on?
Yeah, it's been really great. I mean, I think when I finished that first three chapters, I was nervous to show people. I didn't know who I was writing for or if I would have any readers. Having that show at Casino really started something for me, because I had that feeling in a couple of years leading up to that I'd kind of lost, I'd lost maybe a sense of like why I wanted to make art, who I was making it for, whether any of it really mattered.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess those young people that I was working with, you know, they still really cared. And then when they said, well, now it's your turn to have a show, I felt like I had to do something good. So yeah, so it was gratifying to have that show and then to have positive reaction to it. And in the end, I found the publisher that I had would have most wanted to take the book. So I've had a series of lucky breaks coming out of that. And that is, it's immensely gratifying.
I've seen the cover of the completed creation, the watercolor. The colors are very cool pastel colors, I think, at least to my layman's eyes here, and spring-like. And I really liked the black and white version that I first saw. Something about black and white is cool as well. Talk a bit about the coloring process. How involved were you in that? How did you choose the colors? Because I was thinking, to me, after you have the story, you have the images, the words, and all that, but then adding color is creating new meaning, in a sense, I guess. Does that present a whole other questions for you to answer?
I wrote the first three chapters of the creation book, which was when we had our talk. Mm-hmm. And then a bunch of other life things were happening, and I ended up pausing on the creation book and writing this color book, All We Have Left Is This, which is what's on display right now. Mm-hmm. And I worked for totally in color for that book. And I used mainly four colors, kind of primary colors, like black, cyan, magenta, and yellow, and using those you can kind of combine them with layering to kind of create these really bright tones. And I really liked that vibrancy and the idea of exploring something that's beautiful and getting away from that black and white. But then when I went back to creation, it is mostly in black and white, so I followed through with that for the last four chapters. But when I got to the end in the last chapter, I realized that something about the story at the end of the book kind of returns to the positivity, the hope, the idealism, all of the good side of life, mm-hmm. like all of those positive things. And so I wanted to find a way to represent that element in the cover of the book. Mm-hmm. So I drew on the color scheme that I'd used for the All We Have Left Is This work. And there's kind of this wave of, like glittery stars or kind of like positive energy or whatever coming mm-hmm. across the cover, which is kind of based on a sort of skyline picture of Hamilton.
Yes.
And that weaves that kind of same energy depiction weaves itself into the last chapter of creation as well.
Yeah.
So it kind of weaves itself in and out of the cover of the book.
Right. Yeah. It's quite striking from what I've seen. The form, I'm fascinated by the form, comics, using drawings and the written word and how powerful a combination that can be. I was a wannabe cartoonist when I was a kid, but I didn't feel like I could draw well enough. And you talked about this stage in your art, sort of. You weren't doing this for the bulk of your career, right? This was just a few years ago where you kind of, stumbled, if that's right, upon this form. How did that even come to you?
Yeah, well, I will say, my dad. I have an artistic family, mm-hmm. And many things influenced me over the years, but. Yeah, my dad used to draw comics as an amateur, a long time ago, and would give them to my mom as love notes. I remember seeing those, years ago when I was a kid and thinking, that's so cool. Why did he stop doing that? He ended up becoming an engineer, so he still did lots of cool things I learned from later on. I did go to art school, but I didn't do this in art school. But I continued on as an illustrator for many years, which was just about developing images. And then I continued on in another part of my life where I was writing history and working with academic people writing history, which was really about story and language. So I think the change was just really giving myself permission to use my own voice and allowing that to come into the art and to come to allow it to come from a personal place. Because when I was an illustrator, I was a commercial artist doing work for clients.
Right.
So it developed me as an artist, but as a very different kind of output for different reasons.
Do you distinguish or, sometimes I think of this as storytelling, but you're an artist. I don't know, do you think yourself as a storyteller or is that not a...
Yeah, I think it is definitely storytelling. It's just you use images as descriptors instead of just sentences.
Yeah,
I think it is very much.
Why do you think it's so... effective as a storytelling form? I mean, there's the spareness of the writing, right? By definition, you're not in your work. There's not a lot of writing, but it's getting across very succinct messages, I think. But then the drawings are leaving stuff open to interpretation, I guess, to the reader to kind of see what they want to see, I suppose. Too. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not like a literary scholar or anything like that, but I think probably any good writer leaves a lot for the reader to kind of come to, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's probably very similar. I think what you write has to be believable to you and true to you, and it has to come from a kind of... like an honest place. When you sit down at your desk to write, you have to try not to fool yourself or in some ways it has to come from this interesting, strange place.
Yes.
But I think that for sure, like when a reader reads it, they're really gonna bring their own life, will resonate there. So that's how it should work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. With creation, that story brought you and your life and experiences directly into it. It was largely autobiographical, right?
It's not all completely true, but yes, inspired by autobiographical events, yeah.
And with all we have left is this. This is a series of 14 individual comics, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are there any pieces in there or elements in there that are autobiographical in some way, or is it blurred now and it's hard to say?
In a printed version, I put a fictional disclaimer.
Yes,
I thought a lot about that.
Yeah,
but I thought I think a lot of people are kind of. We make a big deal about the distinction between fiction and nonfiction in the world. And I don't mind my work being kind of in a strange middle place, if it's allowed to rest there. I'm not sure it's that important, because even when people talk about themselves, they're always... representing a certain version, and so it's not really complete ever, so what I've represented, I did it so for a reason, and I feel like the stories and the comics are a place where, you know, kind of like your interior meets the exterior world, like whatever that is, you know. So it's trying to represent that, kind of like how we're all shaped by our experiences, and yeah, we have this kind of thing called the self, and what is that even? But in there, I don't know what's fiction and nonfiction. I don't know how to answer that question.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you did a good job.
Okay.
I think that I thought about this myself, especially with journalism. They talk about objectivity and being. Separate from your subject and that sort of thing, but I've often thought that with most everything I write that has any depth to it or length to it, that it's I'm saying something about myself, even if I don't mean to, you know.
Yeah, I think so.
That your experience is somehow showing through and how you're interpreting.
Yeah, well, I guess that's what I started to think a lot about. A lot of this nonfiction historical writing that I was doing, you just think about all the stories that are not told, all the stories that are told, why are they told, why are some stories important?
Mm-hmm. A lot of choices being made.
Absolutely. Yeah. So all of those same things, I think, shape the story, whether it's nonfiction or fiction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We talked a bit about this the last time we chatted, that the way with creation and perhaps with all we have left is this as well, that when you put something out there, that there are people you know, including family and so on, may read the comic and make assumptions about your views or experiences you've had or that sort of thing, because it can come across as being personal. Or I think at the time creation first, when you first wrote that, you struggled a bit with how that would be received. Your parents loved it and that sort of thing. Maybe it sounds like maybe at this stage you're sort of, you've kind of moved past that.
Yeah, I think maybe I am moving past that. It's, I guess whatever you, it's like what we were just talking about, fiction, nonfiction, like whatever you write, I think probably says more about the author than it does about maybe even the subject.
Yeah, yeah.
So I guess if I'm going to be okay with that and kind of taking responsibility for that, then I hope others will be okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, I guess I'm just leave them to their own comfort space. Yeah.
Right.
In terms of being a reader or not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think, there's a lot in the new work and all we have left is this, the James Street North comic is excellent. And, I think of James North as being this character in a way, and that's sort of how you presented it. But I'd say I love the Johnny Papalia frame or bit within the comic, where it's one of your drawings in the comic that's based on a classic Spectator photograph of the Mafia Don walking downtown.
Mm-hmm.
How did that work its way into it? You came across the photo at some point, and how were you?
Yeah, I came across the photo. I guess I just was trying to imagine all the iterations this street must have had over the years. I mean, I've only been part of maybe one cycle, so being around that street, lots of people would talk about other times in the history and other communities that had occupied it, and it had served different functions, and
mm-hmm.
And I think Hamilton has this element in its history that's talked about a fair bit.
Yeah,
so even though I'm not sure I've crossed it myself, it's part of that thing about the city I'm not sure I'll ever figure out. Like being a citizen here, there's so much about it that I encounter every day, but there's still a lot of mystery to it for me,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
So digging some of that stuff up and putting it in was a way to have it, like imaginatively live in the story.
Yeah, yeah. I thought that was cool. I recognized it like instantly. I'm like, oh, there's the picture. So I mean, James North. I mean, you talked about the zine you wrote, and then this elements of this story in terms of the cycle where we're at, and with James North and the arts community, gentrification. Which, I've thought it depends how you look at it. That James North has come from this spot where it was considered sort of a wasteland of sorts years ago to this rejuvenation, and now the pendulum swinging perhaps the other way, a gallery's having to shut down. I've written about this myself. But I guess, as with life, which comes across in all of your work, nothing stays the same, right? I don't know. Where do you think James North is at now in that cycle? A good place, or
I don't really know. I think it's just change is change. I think it's serving different functions for different communities. I don't have really strong feelings about it. I mean, I think in that time before I wrote Creation, I think maybe that was when I had the strongest feelings about it, because I had a studio on James Street and I had participated in Art Crawl. But as Art Crawl matured, I sort of felt like, and as my own life had matured too, in the sense of becoming a mom and having a family, I guess what I had once felt was like a supportive community for my artistic practice, I'd sort of lost touch with who that was or what that was, or so there was a way in which I felt like I really had to find a new community in order to keep practicing, because James Street became a great place to be an entrepreneur, and I'd open a business, but that's different than being an artist, you know. So so at that time I really felt for myself like there wasn't a lot, or I just was lost in terms of where to turn for the kind of arts community that you need to nurture your own practice. But I still live close by. I enjoy it. I think there's a lot of new people or more people walking the streets. There's new opportunities because of, you know, new initiatives that are going on. So I'm kind of equivocal. I never really ever saw it as a wasteland. I mean, it was always a place of inspiration for me from day one, but for many different reasons.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Have you ever thought of seeing if your work could translate into cartoons, moving pictures?
Yeah, it's possible. Yeah. I did collaborate with someone on a little video this was for something related to this group in Hamilton called the Women's Housing Planning Collaborative. And somebody had done some research on women who had been homeless and then got back on their feet. Now they have this group where they try to do advocacy for women who need housing. Mm-hmm. And so this woman had done a bunch of research in conjunction with these women on this population in Hamilton, and they used some of my comics to kind of animate it and create an informational video about that.
Yeah.
But other than that, yeah, nothing moving images has ever happened.
You should see if you can come up with a superhero of some kind, because I hear that's where that's where the money is at.
The next book.
I wanted to, you know, pull one example from your from All We Have Left is this. That I was struck by in a couple of the comics, the contrast, as I saw it, between sort of that sense of a sobering kind of sense of mortality, but then also hope, the juxtaposition there. And I think that, to me at least, it speaks to sort of universal emotions, human emotions on that. You know, in the one comic called Purpose, the narrator says, "I'm not new anymore," and also fewer horizons call to me. But in the end, she looks for other reasons to go on. Is that you? Is that, I mean, as I say, that's sort of a universal thing. To me, it struck that springtime kind of sense. What would you think when you were creating that?
Yeah, well, I think at times I definitely struggle with that question of purpose and how, I guess, when we all encounter change, some things that gave you an immense sense of purpose, you don't see it coming, and sometimes those things can be completely like eradicated from your life in like a new phase.
Yeah.
And then you look back on that and you think, okay, well, what next now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you have to come up with something else to take up that space. So I guess it's a bit about that, and also being a mom and having a family is like that too. It's like holding that space open for something that gives you purpose, like your children, to grow, and then to allow that to let them go, you know, when they're ready. So, you know, change is always coming for you.
Yeah, it is.
Whatever that is.
Yeah, my oldest is in university, so I see that. How old are your kids now?
They're 9 and 5. Yeah.
Are they reading your comics yet?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. We do make a lot of art and crafts things together, and they do. I don't know if they'd say I collaborate with them or they collaborate with me, but we do. We do work on stuff together. I enjoy that a lot, and I hope as they get bigger, like it'll be interesting to see where that goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Start including their names on the byline there.
Yeah. Well, in one case, I did. Colin helped me with something And so we shared a byline, and my daughter's almost old enough, maybe can do the same for her. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's fabulous. Well, Sylvia, you know, good luck with the show.
Thank you.
And creation and everything else to come. And I really appreciate you taking the time to come in today.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And just for anyone listening at the end who stuck with us for the whole interview, my show, All You Have Left Is This, is at the Red Church Gallery. It's on King Street beside the John Sapinka Courthouse. It's open anytime the cafe is open. It's free to see the show. It's lots of watercolor drawings in color, and kind of a sculptural house installation called Dream House is in the middle. So look forward to hearing anyone's feedback on that. Thanks very much.
Fantastic. And thank you to Aisha and to all of you out there listening.